Okay, you
Lisa, go
guys,
ahead.
our guest tonight is Doug. Doug.
Sal.
Sal. But
That's
how do we actually
right.
say
Jeez.
your name?
That's a great question. And once you figure it out, you let me know. I kind of go with the variation of Sal Goodmai, but I don't know. Is that right?
When
Sal
you know what I read
Goodmai.
it as? I read it as Saul Gudabe.
Okay, Sal Goodman. I was
Goodbye.
gonna say like Sal Goodman or something from
That's
Better
what
Call
made me,
Saul.
yeah. That's what
It's a
made me
very
think of.
expensive cheese.
Cheese, I like it.
Sal
It took
Gudabe?
me a long time to figure out that that's what your username was. Like, it took me longer than I care to admit that your name was I am
People,
Douglas.
I think over the years I've made a couple of videos like, hey, cool that you call me Sal, but my username backwards. And that's funny because I don't even go by Douglas, so I don't know how I came up with this username of
That's what
Sal
I was going to ask.
Goodmai
My next question was going
because
to be, what made you do your username like that?
I don't know, because everything's ass backwards in life, I guess. I don't know.
That works. It is.
Yeah.
That's so true, too. I mean, come
Yeah. So I have to ask if you three are using ring lights or not. And if you are, how do you stare into the camera with the ring light on? You because you're like blinded. You can't see the
This is
screen.
my
I can't hear.
camping battery. And it has a
Lindsay!
flashlight on it. Because that's how I do things.
That
I love
is so good. I
Brilliant.
That's how
My
I
ring
do
light
things.
is not that bright. I mean, I have different settings, but it's not so bright that it's uncomfortable to look at.
Yeah.
I have mine like
Mine.
to the side of my phone. So, but if yeah, it's my camping flashlight. I don't have a ring light. I don't.
I just got one. Rob bought it. I can have him send you which one. I
And
like
to be
it.
fair, I just have one because it helps amplify the quality of my videos. So I use it a lot for like brand videos and different things. And mine was a little like I've got several of them simply because I've kind of like graduated from like getting one that was like okay, and then I'm like, okay, well the lighting looks better here. It seems silly, but really and truly it's not. It makes the quality a little bit better, so that's kind of why I invested in
Yeah.
it.
Quality, you got to invest in the brand, right? And I was going to say, I think somebody was giving me grief and telling me I needed a ring camera, but looking back, I'm pretty sure that person was you, Jen.
I was telling you it was a great thing for you to do is have a ring light. Let me just try to give you a little tip, some tips and tricks, that's all.
I like it. We can all use some tips and tricks.
Well, give us some because that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about running, and if anyone knows about running, especially all over the country, that's you, my friend.
Yeah, what do you want
Can
to
you tell us a
know?
little bit
Who are
about
you waving to?
your 50
Michael.
marathons quest, how
Michael.
many you've done, and maybe
Yeah.
which marathons have been your favorite?
I've got a lot of favorites. I'd say whatever one is coming up is my favorite. So Atlanta Marathon is now my favorite because that's next. And you gotta like live in that moment, right? But I've done 22 states and 33 marathons. I originally started out by running Twin Cities Marathon. And then our family was in Duluth. And I saw something about Grandma's Marathon where they're the week before Twin Cities, the first time I did it. And I was like, should I sign up for Grandma's? Not even running Twin Cities yet. So I ended up signing up for Grandma's. And then I kind of just teeter-tottered between the two, Twin Cities, Grandma's, Twin Cities, Grandma's. And then I think I did Twin Cities again. I mean, in some way, shape, or form, I've done Twin Cities 8 of the last 11 years. So Twin Cities has always kind of been the race that I enjoy doing.
What's the
And then I.
timeline? What's the timeline on it? So, like, when did you first start doing this? Like, and
2011. So I created the goal of running a marathon around the holidays. I remember an article somewhere online. It said, like a weight loss goal. A lot of people don't succeed with weight loss goals because it's based on a negative emotion or a negative feeling of themselves. And so you should, sign up for charity and run like a 5K. And then the good thing is raising money for a charity. And, maybe you'll lose weight, maybe you won't, but you're doing something good and you're not focused on the bad. Well, I skipped the 5K and I skipped raising money for charity. and decided I'd run Twin Cities Marathon. And 33 marathons later, I'm maybe like 10 pounds lighter. So, yeah.
I love that, like that piece of like, advice is like not doing a weight loss goal, like not making it about weight loss, but spinning it into something positive.
And I think in the end, you just have to, I joke around about it a lot, but in the end, you just got to be happy with yourself. And, like this body can do, has done 33 marathons, right? So, be happy with yourself and where you're at in life. And, it's not all about losing weight. It's about living a healthy lifestyle.
Did you feel like, yeah, I mean, is that kind of like when you said that, when you read that about the like the losing weight, was that kind of your initial thought was like, I'm gonna try this, and then it evolved into what it has,
Oh
or?
no, I remember I used to be like a big Excel person, and I like planned out 9 months of the year, and I was like, I'm gonna lose 1.5 pounds every week for the next, I started, I remember my first training run was in I was on February 6, 2011, and like literally I couldn't run a quarter mile at the time, and I kind of planned it out like, okay, if I follow my training regimen, I should be able to lose 1 to 1.5 pounds a week. That's what all the guides say a healthy way of losing weight is. And so I like was like, okay, on this day I'm gonna weigh this. And then like going through the process, it's like I weigh the same damn thing. I mean, I remember initially like I did lose some weight, but I eat poorly, and it's hard to lose weight with type 1 diabetes. And it came less about losing weight and more about just running a lot of events.
Yeah.
Doug, can you tell us a little bit about what it's been like running, especially long
Who gets
distances?
that? Do I get that, or does the do you get that? That's my first GIF I've gotten.
I think she sent it to all.
That's
Thank you,
cool.
Ashley. We see
You
you.
can have them all, Doug. They're all for you.
They're all for me. I've never loaded money onto TikTok to send one, so I appreciate, I guess. You're supposed to thank people for sending those. So thanks for sending those. It showed up on my fi on my head. I don't know if it showed up on
Zach is
yours.
also sending a lot right now.
Wow, look at that. Way to go, Zach. All
Love
right.
it. Love it.
Back to the question. I
Yeah.
am
Can you tell us a little bit
sidetracked.
about what it's been like running as someone with type 1 diabetes and just like what a day-to-day might look like versus like an actual marathon day and how you
Gosh,
feel?
where do we even start with that one? There's like so much to even think about. And to be fair, when I ran, go ahead.
Before you dig into that, will you tell us when were you first diagnosed with type 1? I'm interested to know that because I think that kind of like helps like, get you to the place of like how you use this to help manage it and then managing it
Yeah.
all.
So I was 20. It was a month before my 21st birthday. I remember I was working at a job that I didn't have benefits. I kind of had an idea that something was probably going wrong. That there's three like classic symptoms with being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. It's constant thirst, and since you're always drinking water, pop, milk, orange juice, apple juice, whatever, and when you think about it, that sounds dumb because now you're loading all these extra sugars into your body that your body doesn't need, making your blood sugar go higher. You're essentially killing yourself by doing so. You obviously are going to the bathroom a lot. So constant thirst, constant going to the bathroom, and then unexplained weight loss. So I was between this job where I didn't have insurance and a fast food place. And like I ate a lot of meals at the fast food place. So like I shouldn't be losing weight. But I was like, oh, cool, I'm losing weight. And I ended up moving from part-time to full-time, had benefits, and went to the doctor. I had an idea. Some of the people at my part-time job, he had type 1 diabetes. My grandma had type 1 diabetes. I think at that point in time, those were the only two people I knew that had type 1. And I kind of went into the doctor thinking, I think this is what I might have. And the doctor came in. He's like, well, Doug, we got good news and bad news. Good news is, you were right. It was type 1 diabetes. Bad news
You
is
were
you
right.
were right. It was type 1 diabetes. Yeah, but the and he's like, we're gonna take care of this. And I remember my first low blood sugar was later that day at my mom's. I kind of went. I was 20, so I went back and lived with her for a few days. And I remember that first low, and I was like, what am I feeling right now? It was just like so bizarre. You're trying to explain a low blood sugar to people that have never experienced it. to then experiencing your first one, it just felt like wrong. But obviously now I know what it feels like. Gosh, that was a long time ago. So it's 26 years ago, May of 99 is when I was diagnosed, a month before my 21st birthday.
That had to have been kind of tough considering, you know, like you're getting ready to turn 21 and like, I mean, alcohol definitely doesn't help type 1 diabetes and doesn't, you know, like, and you know, not saying that that was like the driving factor, but for a lot of us, like that's your first taste of becoming an adult and like that's something to look forward to. Like, you know, was that a point at which you were like, okay, I want to take my health more seriously? Or when do you feel like, you know, because with the running, like that definitely plays a factor in your health. Like, and I know you said 2011 is when you got into running, but like, were you doing anything before that that wasn't running or?
I wasn't, no, in high school I wrestled. I also did cross country, not cross country. I did track and I did the longer events. I remember my junior or senior year or something, like later on, the coach said, "Yeah, I took the stopwatch and I put it in the box still running because you only did 7 laps." So so I did some sports growing up. But I want to go back to something you said about alcohol and diabetes and isn't good or whatever. And I know you didn't mean anything by it.
Yeah.
And just for the people that are out there looking, like, yes, I have type 1 diabetes. I can eat sugar. I can drink.
Done
I can
gone.
do anything that anyone not living with type 1 diabetes can do. So we'll just throw that out there. I know you didn't mean anything by it, but just want to clear the air for everybody. But yeah, it was
Yeah,
crazy.
education is great.
My because my first on my birthday, I remember going out and I would test my blood sugar and I was like, "Oh, your blood sugar's 220." And it's like, "You got to quit drinking." And now it's like I could be 300 and
You just need more insulin.
yeah. Well, you got to be careful because then alcohol will make it go down later. So you got to make sure you eat as well. So you just learn the tricks of the trade and make sure you're aware of what's going on with your body and the technology has really come a long way since I was first diagnosed because back then I would test my blood sugar, 10, 15, 20 times a day. I mean, to eat, test your blood sugar, you got to know how much insulin to take to correct your blood sugar. Now it's so different because you have the continuous glucose monitor that is constantly telling your body what to do. For example, right now, before it would take 30 seconds to test my blood sugar. Now I can just look at it. We got 135. Probably can't see that there, but 135. And if I start to go up, my pump will give me insulin. And if I start to go down, it's my little Tamaguchi, and it'll like beep at me, and I get to push buttons to be aware of it. And then just in case, because we're on live, I don't want to have to like go find a low snack. I'll eat some sugar if my blood sugar goes low.
Awesome.
It's a balancing act.
It's funny because
Up and down.
when I was pregnant with my son, I had pretty severe gestational diabetes and I was on
Yeah.
2 vials of insulin. I can't, I it, you know, it was 10 years ago, but I was testing my blood sugar with the finger prick every morning and every meal, and I mean 10, 15 times a day again. And I can only imagine how much, you know, the technology has changed because of like things like the Dexcom. And you know, your pump system, like those things were not a reality back when this was first a diagnosis for you, right? Like you had to actually draw
Yeah, I
insulin
think
and
the my first marathon, Twin Cities Marathon in 2011, I was not on a continuous glucose monitor. I wasn't on a pump, and I'm not sure when the monitor technology came out, but I started wearing a sensor in May of 2012, and I have a story about that I can share later at my second marathon. So my first marathon, I was what we call MDI, multiple daily injections. And I would take two different kinds of insulin. You have your basal insulin, which is like your background all day. The doctors described it as, if you wake up and you're 120, your basal insulin should keep you, like if I didn't eat anything all day, I'd be between 90 and 150. So it should keep you 30 points up, 30 points down, and it's just steady. You always need that insulin in the background. And then we call it long-acting insulin. We're getting into a lesson we probably can really get pretty deep here. But That lasts for about 24 hours. And then we have our bolus insulin, which is when we eat, we take insulin to cover our carbohydrates. And those insulins last 2 to 6 hours. And so my first marathon I was on, I was MDI without the CGM. So I carried a tester and I would test my blood sugar like as I was running. Wow. Now, I will try to in Atlanta not carry my tester. I'll probably carry it. I probably won't test. Usually I'll only test if something feels like off. So if I'm reading a good number and maybe I'm lightheaded, I'll probably test, just like test but verify, just to make sure I'm in a good zone. Because if I'm too low, I could pass out. And if I'm too high, my legs will feel like concrete. So it's really just about like that perfect balance.
That's what's interesting to me. It's kind of like what Lauren initially, and Lauren, I didn't mean to like jump in there. I was just like wanting to know like when that first started and like, you know, because obviously you had a lot of learning to do with this yourself. Like you had to completely, I mean, this is an entirely new area of not now, but like when you first get diagnosed, like there's a lot to learn with diabetes, mm-hmm. There's a lot to manage with diabetes, regardless of what stage you're at. I mean, even now with the technology, you still have to manage it and be on top of it. And like, then to add running to the mix, which, you know, is definitely, you talk about this a lot in the content that you share, which I think is so great because, and that's ultimately why I was like, I can't wait to have Doug on here to talk about this because the normal everyday person doesn't have to think the way you have to think when it comes to being physically active.
Yeah. And that's a challenge too. So whether I run in the morning or after work, because so just about my pump that I'm on, right? So it gives me a correction every 5 minutes, depending on what's going on with my blood sugar. And so I also don't like to run with what we call active insulin on board. And that is like it's currently working. It's not the basal, it's more that bolus type of insulin. And if I run with active insulin on board, that's going to dramatically increase the likelihood of a low blood sugar. So if I were to wake up right now and want to go for a run, I'd probably go low because my blood sugar is good. I'm 136. You can't see it. I have a very tiny amount of active insulin on board, 0.625. So, you know, I might want to suspend it. There's just so many different things. You probably don't want to know everything that I'd have to do to run in the morning or at night. But I have to think about it differently. So fortunately, a lot of times I find myself waking up at like 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't know if you guys just randomly wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe your partner snores or something and like wakes you up, or like, yeah, I go to the bathroom. I don't know. Anyway, I end up waking up in the middle of the night a couple of times. I can check my pump and see where I'm at. And maybe I'll turn on temp target every night. Just looked at a comment there. Every night they wake up in the middle of the night. Different reasons, Jeff. So it's just figuring out how to do things. And then if I run in the afternoon, because of the active insulin, you know, I want to eat lunch by noon to make sure that I don't have any active insulin on board in the afternoon. So I saw Rob comment something about juggling through it. It's like, there's so much to even like talk about. I could spend 4 hours just talking about the ups and downs and how to look at the numbers and what I do to offset what I see and what's going on.
Well, you're doing a great job and we appreciate, and I know your followers appreciate your transparency on TikTok, but you keep a lighthearted approach to it oftentimes, which I think is really nice to see as well.
Yeah, I have a type 1 friend that lives in Virginia, and we're talking about Stacy and some of the content that I share about my wife, and she said, "Oh, you can make your screen name be Pump and Stump." So yes, very lighthearted.
How do you maintain that level of positivity, because you do put out very positive vibes, and like, you know, given the struggles, like, I mean, I know we all have struggles, but like, when you even just want to like go out for physical activity, you have to really think through what you're going to do. So like, how talk a little bit about that. Like, how do you say, okay, yeah, like I just, because you're doing this at a level that most people couldn't even imagine doing. Like, you are a true running beast. Like, you don't even understand how many people look up to what you're doing. Watching you manage type 1 diabetes, and maybe you don't think of it this way, but I do. Like, I watch it and I'm like, I smile every time I see one of your videos. The humor there is awesome. Like, you have this sense of humor that I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to watch another Doug video. Like, and you make fun of yourself. And like, it's just so much fun. And I just want to know, like, how you constantly maintain that positive vibe.
I don't remember where I heard it, but you know, I saw something. The only thing in life you can control is your reaction to it. So, you know, like, it is what it is. You know, I used to complain about hitting my deductible early in the year. Now I just know it's a fact of life. Like, these are the things we have to do. I can tell you, when Stacy was in the hospital a couple summers ago, I thought it would feel better to like scream really loud. And I did it one time, like driving home. I like just like let it all out. And I thought it would like feel better, and it didn't. So like, you just, what are you going to do? You have to face it. You know, this is life. You face it and you move forward and you just do what you can do.
Love that.
Rob had a comment that said, in case you guys haven't figured this guy, he is mentally built different than most of us. He was an absolute warrior during Relay Iowa. And wow. I was one of the ones that happened to be running alongside Doug, Lindsay as well, for a lot of Relay Iowa last year. And there were, when times got tough, because we all got really sick with what we believe was norovirus, kind of on a, basically we all were like dominoes. One just, it was like every 2 hours, somebody new was falling. And without fail, if somebody needed a morale boost, Doug was there. Doug was running when he probably shouldn't have been, just because he was so sick at that point. And yeah. I mean, he's relentless. And yet, like Jen has pointed out, with the absolute most like positive, we can do this attitude. So it was,
I came close. I wanted
you
to quit
and you
for
kept
a
us
second.
Going.
We, you know, you got to rely on some of your teams there too. But yeah, thank you.
Hopefully there's no sickness this year.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it. What are we like?
3 months away.
Because we're going to hit March here soon, and it's the first weekend in June. So it's like almost 3 months away then. It's like 100 days.
Not far at all. So your next race is like
Sunday, right?
Sunday.
A couple days away. Sunday, yeah. Atlanta Marathon. Couple people conned me into it, so why not?
And this will be the first time in Georgia.
First time in Georgia. Yep. I
so
get to
Doug.
Go crew some of my friends at an ultra marathon and then go run a marathon of my own.
Doug, would you be willing to tell us a little more about your race schedule for this year and talk a little bit more about some of the marathons you've done on your 50 states quest?
Yeah. I feel like I should be in my treadmill room and like go on a tour of them. Maybe we can like go in there, and because I think they're in order on my little sign thing. But
you're welcome to do that.
Yeah, let's go on a field trip.
Let's go on a tour.
On a tour here. All right, I got my my ring light here attached to my phone.
If your light doesn't haul with you, it's okay.
No, it's a little mini guy. So let's take a look here.
In case you wondered, I made myself a cup of coffee tonight because I'm freezing. Is that
all right?
Ridiculous?
Can I flip the screen, you think? Let's see here. How do I?
Maybe I don't know.
Let's see here. Yeah. All right. So this is I'm missing a couple of bids here. So this one here.
Hey, Doug, we can't see you.
Yeah, you can see the wall, right?
No.
Oh.
We just see your profile pic. Now we see your face.
One second.
You might have to have your face. There you go.
There we go.
There we go. I'm coachable. This is my this is my out of state. This is my in state. So you can see Twin Cities and Grandma's over here. I'm missing, I think, one Twin Cities from that one. And then
You're
over
so
here,
organized.
I'm missing.
I love it.
I know.
It.
Yeah.
Me too.
And you can see they go in order.
Please.
So we've got Fargo, North Dakota, Chicago, Illinois, right? Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Des Moines. This is my current PR course at 459.47. I always like throwing, like,
I
you got diabetes, we got diabetes BA over here. And like when people shout your name, like here, I feel like I was boring and said
Douglas.
Douglas. Yeah. So you're going to see here Little Rock. Between Little Rock and then Grandma's 2020, we had like five races in like 13, 14 months. And because I found out that Grandma's marathon was on my birthday, June 20th, 2020. And I was like, how cool would that be to run your 20th marathon on your birthday? And we all know what happened for 2020, right? You see me?
Yeah, we can see
Yeah,
you.
we can see you.
So you didn't
Okay.
get to do it?
I didn't get to do it. I did it. I did it virtually. So I came up with my
Oh, the
own
virtual
course.
run era. Did you have
Yeah,
your own horse?
I came up with my own course. It was a triangle course. I can make a TikTok when we're done and show my course for that day. A friend came and met me at mile 18 and finished the last seven with me. Stacy brought me water at 7 and 18. And then the thing that sucks the most is the race results. You had until July 31st to submit your results. And so it's posted for July 31st. And I
Oh.
count that in my 33. So should I be counting that in my 33 or should it be
Yes.
32?
Yeah.
No,
No,
I
it
think you
counts.
should count it.
Yeah.
It
It was
counts.
virtual. I counted it. So, all right. Back to the races. Little Rock, Arkansas. Lincoln, Nebraska. I stayed in an Airbnb for that one. That was a little weird. I'm not gonna lie. I drove the hour back to the casino, I think in Omaha, and played quite a bit of poker so that I did not. It was like this lady's second bedroom. It was so weird. I never ran into her, but never do that again. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Maui Oceanfront Marathon.
Wow.
That
Ooh.
was just before COVID. That was pretty cool. All right. Then we had, this was in 1 year, I think. We had Holland, no, because that was September. Holland Haven in 2021. I had a big gap in races. Obviously, we all know it was COVID. Holland Haven, I had a Twitter friend there that I met. Baltimore Marathon, Indy Monumental, Mesa, Arizona, Flying Pig in Cincinnati, New York City.
Favorite name, type one badass.
Yeah. New York City Marathon, St. Jude's Marathon, Charlotte Marathon, and then Lauren's like, Doug, I know you've done more. So I've got the drawer here.
The drawer.
Yeah, you're missing probably your favorite one, which is
Yeah.
actually a question that's being asked of you right
Yeah,
now.
I was just gonna say your favorite, what's your been your
He
favorite
said
song?
Atlanta is his favorite one.
Kansas City. I'll quick, I'm gonna just finish showing you. There's only three more. Kansas City, Ogden, probably one of my favorite because I got to meet Lauren there.
And Mary Grace.
And Mary Grace. And Die Badass Doug. That's where my Virginia friend lives. Roanoke, Virginia. That was fun. America's Toughest Road Race. Run up three mountains. And then my last one, Marshall. Oh,
Amazing.
and Green Bay. Green Bay is not on there either. I
Doug, you
lost
went
my.
away again.
Yeah, because I was coming back.
So, Doug, will you answer the question? What's been your favorite?
All of them.
No, you have to pick one.
New York City was the most fun, probably, because I ran on a charity team.
That's so cool.
I gotta look at the bibs and remember.
So, was New York as hard as everybody says it was, being all uphill? You
I
don't feel like
think
that?
I. It was. I ran it in 2022, and I think if you look it up, it was a hot year that year. And I ran a freaking smart race. I caught myself. We're not going to get banned here today from this live. It
The beep button.
was a super hot race, and I was like right even negative splits. I remember the last 3 miles, like I was zooming past people. Like there were so many walkers, and I was probably like running really slow, and I felt like I was running really fast, but everybody else was walking because I did the right thing. I went out easy, paced myself super well. I had a name bib with said dog on it. I would move from the middle to the side so people could see it, and I was just jacked up the whole way.
People were so cool. I mean, like, just being a spectator this last year, and like, I mean, like, they say that that is one of New Yorkers, like, the actual New Yorker's best day is to go out and actually just root for people and like literally just shout names out. Like, I mean, it's like a party everywhere you go. I just thought that was such a beautiful thing. Like, I'm not sure I ever would want to run it, but being there and like watching that and like just the environment was so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. I think crowd energy, that's where some of my favorite races are. I don't really love events that are like super quiet. But sometimes when you find a race, you just don't know what you're going to, when you're going into it. Like Atlanta, I don't know how big it is. I don't know if there's going to be people out there cheering. I hope there is.
I think it's a pretty decent race. Like, it's pretty
Yeah.
popular here. There's
Okay.
not a whole lot of core like Georgia marathons, and the Atlanta Publix Marathon is one it's got a reputation.
Sure. Like Twin Cities, we have cheer zones, and there's like contests that you can sign up to win, a cheer zone or whatever the case may be. I will say, Flying Pig, there was one guy who was right around the same pace as me, and I can see the spectator in my mind. And you talk about the energy that I give off. I'm gonna like get excited and see you and talk to you and be like, I see, like, that's a thanks for coming out and cheering for me. And they're like cheering for the guy behind me. We just like are at the same spot. And like, so Flying Pig, I had one of those moments. And then Pittsburgh, the crowd at Pittsburgh was amazing. And if you don't know about that race, it's hilly. Like, it's got to be hillier than Atlanta, Linz, I'm telling
We'll
you.
see. Atlanta, I did the half marathon at Thanksgiving, and it was literally.
Mile 12 is like this on my Garmin, and they had like runners that would come up and run the they would run up and then back and like just keep running it because it was like a straight uphill,
My
like
goodness.
straight up.
Rob had asked
I'm
you, Rob had, producer Rob had asked you a question about whether or not any more majors are on the horizon for you, or if that's a goal of yours, or.
No, it's not a goal of mine. I would certainly do them. I kind of want to do Boston some year for probably the Heather Abbott Foundation for a charity run, because we know I'm never gonna qualify for that race.
You know what? Neither.
Me either.
So it's okay.
Probably me neither.
No, you will.
You don't say that.
You're going too soon.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I say, I don't know if I'll ever PR again or beat that 5 hour mark. I used to get super into like, oh, I gotta have a great race, and I had like every race had to be a PR, and this is what I'm gonna do is beat this 5 hour timeline. And then I just realized it's just just go out and have fun and get it done, and you'll end up, having more fun while you're doing it.
But Doug, how many marathons are you planning to run in 2025?
Yes, you did ask me that question. Thanks for bringing me back on the right track. Okay, I'm signed up for Atlanta in a week. I've got Kentucky Derby Marathon that's on April 26th.
That's really cool.
Goal race for my fast time is Super Marathon. After I just got done saying I'm not chasing goals anymore, I am. So Super Marathon is in Washington State. I can't pronounce the city. Snoqualmie or something, I don't know. So that's June 21st. I found that one because it is my birthday weekend, June
Yeah, it's the
20th,
day
we
after your
talked about.
birthday.
Yeah, as about as close as you can get. And then I don't know if Kelby's on, but Selena in
It's
November.
Salina.
Selena.
Lina.
So, yeah, Selena in November. And then I've been really wanting to get to Texas, and I thought about Austin. There's just so many big cities in Texas. I ended up signing up for San Antonio because it's their first year of running their own event.
Snoqualmie.
Sarah attended.
Sarah's
Okay,
fixing it for you.
are we
Okay,
done?
thanks,
Because
Sarah.
I gotta bring my other hand out if not. This is all 2025 is what you're doing,
Is that
Doug?
five? One, two, three, four, five. Yep,
And he
2025.
didn't
Yeah.
mention Relay Iowa either.
And Relay Iowa. Yeah. And I could be convinced to do one of two other events. We'll see if they make it to my race calendar. I kind of want to do Twin Cities again, too, but I'm going to refrain from signing up for that one.
So, in your planning for your marathons, I know you have everything tracked, but do you have a goal for certain states already mapped out, like 4 years from now, next year, 5 years from now? And what's your
Yep.
timeline on finishing?
I don't have a timeline on finishing. Next year, I know because it lands on my birthday, I want to do mares in Alaska.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is
So
so
it's,
freaking
wait,
cool.
I want to do it with
I do
you. Yeah, come
too.
on up. So it's June 20th, 2026.
Yeah.
And then I've been eyeing Miami for a while, but Miami in February and then Alaska in June. That feels like a
Kind of
couple of like
flipped.
big feels like a couple of big races, so I don't know. But you only live once, right? YOLO. And then I do have in the back of my mind a couple of doubles maybe. So like on the East Coast they have the New England Challenge. There's seven races that you can do in 7 days. I wouldn't necessarily do all seven of them in a row, but maybe I could do like one or two of them because airfare and flights and travel, it all gets expensive. So why not do back-to-back marathon days? There's one in Maine and then Vermont. Like there's all those states are so close. You can really, find one on Saturday. You just gotta be smart about it. Find, one that has a 6 hour time limit on Saturday and one with a 7 hour time limit on Sunday or seven and seven and just utilize that time available to finish. So my only goal is to finish a marathon in each state. And it originally started out as a marathon in each state, but it could be, an ultra marathon, I think counts. So I could maybe sign up for
There's a marathon in there. I celebrate every marathon in an
a
ultra.
50K. Yeah. And
Yeah.
then all of my races have been on road so far for the most part. Maybe I need to do some trail running as well, but and trail running kind of gets me because is it like a trail or is it like through grass in a field? Is there a difference between the two? Like, is there like true trail
I feel
versus
like
like
there's
field running?
road and then not road.
Okay.
And anything not road to me is trail.
This battery on this ring light died pretty quick, so.
I listen, my ring light, I told you, is a battery. This is a battery.
Love it.
Oops.
Let can we talk about like how you fuel for a run and especially talk about that as a type 1 diabetic because that's an interesting thing that, again, none of us really have that experience with.
So I primarily run with something called GenuCan. I had a conversation with the founder last summer about like all the technicalities on like how the product works. And obviously it's like any other cool invention and kind of created on accident. But I primarily will use that and gummies, maybe some, I will carry goos, but fruit snacks for like fast acting carbs. The GenuCan is more like a, it's not an emergency fuel, so you're not going to get like an immediate hit out of it. It's kind of like this slow, long, steady burn. And so I generally run fasted, and then so I'll wake up in the morning, kind of like look at my blood sugar, and I'll set a what's called a temp target, depending on what my numbers are. Like if I'm in range and I'm within 2 hours of the race, I'll set a temp target. And then I'll fuel primarily with GenuCan. It's like a goo kind of, but not a goo. if that makes any sense. Have any of you ever used it? I don't think you have. You've heard of it though?
I've heard of it.
I've heard of
Yeah.
it through your stuff. Other than your
Okay.
stuff, no.
The reason I like it is because when you eat, right, you're gonna see a spike in your blood sugar. And no matter if you take insulin or not, you got these ups and downs here. You probably can't see them very well. I could show you on my phone easier, but we're on TikTok Live, so you can't see my phone. But you eat and your blood sugar goes up. With this Gen, you can. It's like a magical elixir, and I hate to describe it that way, but if I were to eat 15 grams of these, my blood sugar will start to go up almost immediately. If I have 15 grams of Genucan, I won't see a spike for an hour. And so, I'll take it a half hour before I start running. It covers that first 30 minutes. And then so I'll start using it every 30 to 45 minutes. I'll probably use 8 of them during a marathon. That is what? They're 15 grams of carb. So it's
There's a
got
question. There's a
120.
question.
Yeah, 120.
Confession of a type one runner. Even on
Yeah,
run,
my buddy.
or even on race day, you run fasted. Just Genucan. Can you talk about race day fueling and how that looks for you?
Yeah, just fasted and
So the same
Genucan.
as training.
And training too, primarily that, and then like I'll keep an eye on my sugars. I'll suspend my pump a lot of the time. See, she'll get what I'm talking about. I'll suspend if I'm trending down. And as soon as I start to see an upward motion of the line on my CGM, I'll turn the basal back on. And then if I start to see it coming down again, I'll have something fast acting like fruit snacks or something. And so I still turn on and off my pump and still use like
So how often do you,
fruit snacks.
when you're actively running like a marathon, how often do you pull out and look at your monitor, or is it connected to your watch? Like, how often are you actually checking that metric?
It's on my phone and probably a lot, like every minute. I mean, I run with my phone, and so like let's say this is my phone. If I'm running, I just like quick like look at it. This is like clipped, and it's kind of annoying to unclip it and look at it and then try to clip it back in. So I'll mostly like think of how long it takes to pull out your phone and pull out your camera. That's how long it takes me to like look at it. And then it's just right there on the screen, and I can see the number.
And but you're probably in tune enough too with yourself that you can kind of start feeling it. Like, are you able to, as you're running, are you able to feel your blood sugar dropping and going up?
You probably
No.
feel the lows more
No.
than you would if it's rising, right?
I actually don't even really feel my lows. I could be, this thing could say I'm below 50. And there was one time last week it said, like, if it ever says like I'm super high or says I'm super low, sometimes I just don't believe it. And so I'll test. And then if I test and it's like, oh, I guess I am low. Maybe I'll eat something.
Well, I mean,
That's why I have the technology, right? But I used to test like 15 times on a run, even with having the CGM. Now I just like trust it.
Doug, could you tell us your best running advice that you've ever received, or just advice you would give to a newer runner or experienced?
Follow your plan, whether you are building one on your own or working with the coach. Just follow your plan, put in the runs, do the work.
Solid advice.
I like it.
Basic. Yeah, basic.
I like it.
Yeah. You know what's
You
funny?
have to.
I remember my first marathon that I did. And I was talking to Stacy about this the other day. I would run like a 16-mile run, right? I remember it was so hot one day. I ran 4 miles and then like laid in the grass for 15 minutes and then ran 4 more miles and then laid in the grass for 15 more minutes. And I would like pause my Garmin. I didn't even use Garmin at the time. I used Runkeeper on my phone. And so like
Runkeeper. I
that
remember
voice,
Runkeeper.
yeah, that voice would pop on and be like, you are this amount for your pace. You are this much ahead of schedule. You're this much behind. But I would pause it every time I laid in the grass. And then you'd finish your run and be like, oh, like, look at my improvements. I've done so much better. But then I didn't really even think about it. Like, you can't run a marathon and pause it. You know what I mean? You gotta like keep going. So
do you not pause your watch, or do you pause your watch?
Not during a run. Like during a training run, I would pause it.
Okay.
But like just if I go inside to get a refill on water or go to the bathroom or whatever, I will. But I think the watch does like moving time versus like actual time.
If you leave it running, yeah, it'll tell you at the end your moving time versus your elapsed time.
Sure. Yeah.
But not everybody else gets to see that. So, I mean.
Right.
But if you sync it to Strava, you can.
And then if you actually know how to be on Strava.
And if I know how to give my runs a name versus just saying treadmill run or.
Evening run, morning run.
usually it shows up as Dayton running. I live in Dayton, Minnesota. People are like, Dayton, Ohio? No, Dayton, Minnesota.
But I want to clarify something since we were just talking about that. I want to be very clear that if you want to pause your watch, that is wonderful. And if you don't, that's also totally fine.
Yeah, go ahead. Do
as many breaks as you need. I don't want this to come across that you
have. Yeah. If I'm at a crosswalk and it's taking forever for the cars to come, I pause mine because I'm like, you know, I'm stopped right now.
That's a big difference between like where I am now versus where I was. I remember that first training cycle thinking like, please turn yellow, please turn red, please turn red. And now I'm like, stay green. I want to make it. Yeah. I want to make it.
Matt says, I'm a big fan of stopping my watch and then forgetting to start it again.
That's the worst.
Oh my God. Remember,
like, dang it, I got to do it again. I'm not even going to have the right mileage.
We're talking about like race predictions, and somehow I was on race prediction for my run tonight, and it was like started me at 26.2, and thanks for the reminder, I gotta go back and change that setting.
Rob said, I look for busy traffic spots so I can pause my watch and not make myself feel guilty about it.
Love it.
You also shouldn't feel guilty ever about stopping on a run. I mean, even in a race,
no,
you
I don't
take a breather, do it.
Yeah. Oh, and that's funny. You just made me think too, because at Pittsburgh, I was 5 hours and 20 seconds. And we all talked about how my PR is 4:59:47. And I did not pause my watch at Pittsburgh, but I did do something along that run. I'm giving a hint. And it probably took enough time that So yeah, you got to stop and do your thing while you're running, you know?
I did that at the Chicago Marathon. That was the first time I ever stopped on a marathon to use a porta potty. I'd never done that before. And in Chicago, of all places, I'm like,
yeah,
that's what we're doing.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
There was. At Twin Cities, there used to be like this wall at like mile 1.5. The wall is not there anymore. And all you would see is like a circle was just dripping down. All the guys would just like go to the bathroom there. It was unreal. Rob, edit that out.
No, Rob, make that the promo.
Yeah,
you're right. I ran at least a 4:58 that day.
Oh, am I just learning? Andy says Garmin's have an auto stop start. I don't even know how to work my Garmin, and I've had
you can, it. Yeah, you can set it to that, but it's annoying. I had it set to that one of my trail runs where it would auto start stop, but it doesn't take into account like if you're using like trekking poles or anything like that, or you're walking, or if your hand is like up holding your phone. If your hand is not moving, it will automatically stop and you won't know it, and you'll look down and it's paused and you're like, I just went a quarter mile and it's paused. So I turned that off. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing that kind of annoys me too, like, is when I'm doing like a treadmill run and it just gives you the option of treadmill, and like, if you walk a little bit, it's like zero. You're going zero. This is,
you can't even have like a treadmill walk or a treadmill run. You have to have just like, treadmill.
What do you want from me, lady?
Sometimes I don't want to run on the treadmill. I want to walk.
I'm going to lose a couple followers with this comment, but on the treadmill, I can do 4.5 on the treadmill, but 5 on my watch, and I'll take the 5 on my watch.
All the time, all the way.
The
I always
watch, he
go by what
watches
my watch says.
wherever. Except.
Always go by my treadmill, but generally my watch is lags far behind, so I am the opposite.
Like, put it this way. I went out on an easy run today and I did like a 12:30 pace. And when an easy, like a 12:30 pace on the treadmill almost feels like an effort run for me versus like a 13:30 feels like easy pace. So it, like, it might be a minute off, but I felt like I was running easy on both. And so I'm gonna take the easy effort.
I also tell myself that my watch, and this is me just gaslighting myself, but I tell myself that my watch has to be more accurate than the treadmill because the watch is counting my actual steps, not just the belt turning. And so it's counting my actual steps in my stride, and the treadmill can't account for that. So if my watch says that I went 5 miles and the treadmill says, 4.7, I go with the watch.
That's
Yeah,
so
good
funny
call.
because I think exactly the same way. Like, that is exactly my thought process on it too. I'm like, definitely my watch is like my legs are shorter than what the belt is saying, and the belt is going off of the time distance based on what the Peloton has decided it is, not what,
Right, right.
like, so in my I rationalize it that way too, and I think it's spot
But
on. Right.
you
Doesn't
should
matter.
paint, shoe marks on your treadmill and try to land on them and see if it is the same cadence.
I think there are shoe marks on my treadmill from my kid, from my, what do we call them? From my nerd cluster, or gummy clusters, from my gummy nerd cluster. Wore some tennis shoes on there and left marks all over it.
I will
Jacob
say,
pointed out that you can calibrate your Garmin to match your treadmill data, which I always
I
do,
do, but it
but
always
mine
ends up
still has
getting,
never synced up. Like
yeah.
it's never even close. It's
I feel
usually
like
if
every
I'm
time I do it,
running,
it's always off.
yeah, even a 4 mile run, it could be upwards of a half mile off. So.
Yeah. I'm just gonna take the higher on my watch, and when you guys see that, be like, "Woo,
I
Jennifer's
also feel like,
really
you
good
know
at
what, running on a
race."
treadmill is mentally very tough a lot of the times and is very boring. So if the perk of that is I get to up my like 0.25 miles as my bonus, that's my treat for doing it, then that's
Yeah.
what I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
Why not?
it keeps you motivated to go do more, right? Like the
Yeah.
treadmill, it's so funny because, man, the treadmill used to be like my jam, and I still love the classes and like the fast ones, but the nicer weather is definitely making it easier for me to be outside.
Aren't you glad you ran in sub-zero? So now your threshold for cold has just improved substantially.
Oh, because I feel like it's made my whatever the Ronnons or whatever we're calling it worse, and then my fingers feel like they're gonna fall off my hand. Thanks, Lauren.
I think Andrea is really nervous about coming and running here and it being like 65 degrees. She doesn't know what to do with that. And
No,
like, it's gonna be
warm.
65 is nice.
It
I
was
should
what,
know.
like 52 here today. Feels like 45 probably, and
It's gonna be 79 here tomorrow.
I know. You guys are making Lauren and I, it's definitely our own faults, Lauren. Like,
That's giving me anxiety. I'm already nervous for 50.
no,
I
but
think
I'm giving
Sunday said
me FOMO.
45 to 55. So that's like perfect.
Because we
Yeah,
should be
Sunday's gonna be
packing our
nice.
suitcases right now.
And you'll be in the shade a lot because of the big buildings too.
Okay.
So I
So
think
count on
Sunday's
my
gonna be really
Garmin to
nice.
bounce around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauren,
Yeah,
just
count
so
the buildings to mess with your Garmin, maybe.
I remember that with Chicago, my Garmin was just always off.
Yeah. When you go through that tunnel.
Yeah, that too.
I'm so excited you're coming and running it, though. I've only been asking you to run a marathon in Georgia for like 3 years.
For a while, I wanted to do that Jekyll one, but Jekyll
Yeah.
Island.
Yeah.
And then I came back and looked at it and it was sold out. I should have
It
signed
was a
that.
good one. It was actually there was a good chunk of trail in that one that I didn't know there would be. We started running and it was like mile 8. All of a sudden we were on trails out on like in the marshes, and I was like, wow. Scott will find out about this in a couple miles.
Oh
I was gonna
man.
say, I always join these lives and try to say all kinds of funny stuff in the comments. And like, I haven't even looked at the comments, so I apologize to anybody who said anything. Like, it's super hard. I gotta like take my bifocals and like look at the screen like
We've been
this or
trying to kind of
something.
follow through with like questions and stuff. A lot of, we everybody's kind of been giving some feedback on the Garmin.
There were some funny things early, like throughout, sprinkled in.
Mid-20s. No, thank you.
We laughed at
All right.
those.
What I went on a lot of tangents. What questions did I avoid, or what was left?
Nothing. I think
Yeah.
you pretty much touched base on everything we really wanted to, talk about, because I just think it's so interesting that, like, for me, I don't have to overthink running. I mean, I have to overthink having to do it because I have to get myself to say, yeah, I want to go do it. And then I procrastinate and it like takes me 500 hours to get there. But I don't have to do any pre-thinking about like how am I going to be health-wise in order to go do this. And don't get me wrong, I know that I'm in a sweet spot to be able to say I get to go do this. Like, I'm so happy to be able to do that and say that. But like the idea of you having to put so much thought and effort into your own health, because at the end of the day, it can be very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing with type of
Does your watch or your phone, because I know you run alone outside, does it notify your wife about your sugars too? Like she's able to see your sugars?
She does not follow my numbers. And that's okay. Everybody is a little bit different. I do, like, I'm aware enough that it'll alert me or I'll know what's going on. And I think in the last 10 years, I've had her pick me up maybe less than a handful of times. But I always leave the house and give her a kiss and say, I'll call you if I die. And she'll say, call me before you die. And then sometimes I'll like joke with her and say, hey, can you come pick me up? And she'll say, where are you? And then I'll send her like a selfie of me like out on the front step. So, yeah.
That is a good question. Like for Lauren, you have Rob, you guys talk about running because you're both runners. Lindsay, I know your husband just ran a marathon, half marathon or
A
marathon.
marathon.
A
He did a
full
marathon.
marathon. My husband is a avid golfer. He is an avid everything sports guy, but he's not a runner. So like let's talk about that for a second. What does Stacy say to you when you're like, let's talk about running, because obviously you're passionate about it. Like is she kind of like, well, go talk to your friends and be quiet about it? Like how does that
Yeah. She just rolls her eyes at me. I think my father-in-law is here. They're talking loud now. Anyway, like one of my other favorite things to do is just because I know it bothers her is I'll say, "Do you know we're 1.5 miles from home right now?" And then we'll drive by like another part of the neighborhood and be like, "We're 4 miles from home," and she'll just be like, "No." So, or I'll come home and I'll say, I'll tell her my pace. She knows enough that I talk about it that she'll be like, "Oh, nice job, babe. That's really quick." Or like she knows what my goals are. And then I talked about it earlier. I missed much of June last year because of her hospital thing. And ultimately, she kicked me back out the door and was like, "Hey, like I don't want to be here holding you back from your running. Like that's a big part of your life. You got to go out there and do your thing." So especially, like she's not coming to Atlanta with me, but she knows it's a goal of mine and she's 100% supportive of it happening. So yeah, we talk about it. We'll figure out which races she'll want to go with and which one she'll stay home. It's more like my goal. If we're going to a place that's appealing, she'll come. And if it's kind of like, Atlanta where I get to go hang out with my TikTok buddies, we can say my in real life buddies as well now, who met on TikTok, right? She'll say, go have fun. So,
That's awesome. It's helpful when you guys can support each other with the things that you like to do as hobbies. And I know Jeff is the same for me. He's like he's almost like pushing me out the door because he's like, you're being such a go. Like
oh,
I
wow.
need you to have, well, because I get like I'm very overwhelmed and overstimulated, and he knows that this helps my mental state, and it does. Like that's a big thing for me. This has really helped improve my mental health, and like just that alone, it's just so it's interesting to me that he has pushed me to go and do those things, so that he knows it makes me feel better, and in turn, it probably makes me nicer to him. So I mean, there's
Yeah, I would say you asked about my advice to runners earlier. I would say if you're ever feeling like, "Ugh, I just don't want to go run right now," that's going to be the best run of your training cycle. Go on it.
I like that too.
Well, that's a good spot for us to end our hashtag run talk tonight, you guys. We want to say thank you to everyone who stuck around for our entire chat with Doug. And you can find Doug at Doug, how are we going to say this? I mean, Sal, do we just search Sal and we can find you right here on TikTok?
Maybe
If
just
you don't follow me.
write down I am Douglas and then start typing that backwards and you got it.
There we go. Perfect. I like that. Write it down, spell it backwards, and that's how you find Doug. We are also going to be dropping our fifth episode with May that we had May on last week. That drops now on YouTube, and that is available on Spotify and Amazon Podcasts. This will be available on Spotify and Amazon Podcasts. And producer Rob says it's live right now. He's gonna like want to smack
Thanks, producer Rob.
producer Rob, but it's his name now. And again, thank you guys. Thank you so much, Doug, for doing this with us. We are so glad to be able to follow your journey and like continue to watch you do this and accomplish your goals. And it's just so much fun.
Well, so excited you asked me
And
to
I
come
guess
on
I'll
here.
see you in 2 days.
Less than.
Listen,
Lord and I are both
day
like,
after tomorrow.
we'll see you in June.
See
What
you in
is it,
June.
99 days from now?
I think it's close to that. It's like 100, or yeah, it might be under 100 days
100?
now. Yeah.
Cool. I love it.
And I'm so excited.
3 whole days of all of us, Doug.
I'm laughing at Mac.
100% maybe.
I for Pike's Peak, I said I'm 100% maybe.
Well, Andy got on here and said that he just now learned that your real name is Doug. We're
Yeah.
all gonna have that epiphany at some point.
And my brother's name is Andy.
That's awesome.
And thank you to everybody who was on tonight. We appreciate you guys very much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
As
Okay,
always, yes, thank you.
we're signing off. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
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 Bye.